What do we got on there, Joel? Okay, Ecclesiastes 3:1-3. That'll be better. There we go. We'll get it. If you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read his word. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Father, we're grateful for your word. Lord, as we look today at the times that our nation has been at war, Lord, it shouldn't surprise us at all, but it does. We keep thinking we're going to get smart enough eventually there won't be any more wars. But Lord, today as we study your word, we're going to see very clearly that time is not going to come until Christ himself comes. So Father, in the meantime, help us to honor those that have served, especially those, Lord, that gave their life for our freedoms. And Father, we'll surely give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, today we're going to be looking at Memorial Day. Tomorrow is going to be Memorial Day across our land, and many of you in your communities will have a chance to honor those that have served their country. I can't encourage you enough, if your local community is having a memorial service, take the time. I can remember as a boy going up to St. Charles and seeing the Second World War soldiers marching in the parade. And they were strong, fairly young men yet. And then you watched them where there was nobody else left from the Second World War. Now we have the Korean War veterans that are just about the same. There's very, very few Korean War veterans left. Vietnam veterans, pretty strong yet, but getting where they got a little limp in there. And so on down the line. But folks, it only takes about an hour. Find one in your local community. Take the time. We are not free today because we had great legislatures and great congressmen and great whatever. We're free today because we had soldiers, men and women, willing to give their life. I also served 6 years in the Army Reserves. Went in 65, got out in 72, and I was a cook. And I know people laugh about cooks in the military, but I'll tell you, nobody eats better than a cook in the military. I put on some weight in there. So it was a good service. Glad I could do it. It was Vietnam time war. Every cook that I went to cook school with, everyone that wasn't National Guard or Army Reserves went right straight to Vietnam, every single one. So it was a difficult time in history. But praise the Lord, we got a chance to serve, and I enjoyed my time. Like Norm said, it was good. I would encourage anybody, if they're not sure what they want to do in their life, the military is a great place to start. It teaches you how to control your life and how to obey orders. And a lot of people today can't keep a job because they don't know how to obey orders. And so it helps. So glad for that. So anyhow, tomorrow, again, as I mentioned, there are going to be services all across our state. There's an opportunity for you to go, and it only takes an hour to show your respect for those that have served this country. I can't encourage you enough to do it. We didn't always have a Memorial Day in our nation. It started in 1863. The Civil War was still raging, and a lady who had lost two sons down in Missouri went to the church burial place. She went over and put flowers on her two sons' graves, and then she began to walk over into the corner of the graveyard, And one of her friends stopped her and said, "You can't do what you're thinking of doing." And the lady said, "I'm going to do it. Those two boys that died from the north are just like my sons from the south." She said, "One of these days, we're going to call all these boys heroes for fighting." So she went over and she decorated the grave of two Union soldiers because she told the other lady, "Somebody in the north has lost their son, and they don't know where they are. They don't know what's going on. We would want them to do that for our sons in an unmarked grave, and we need to do it." And that started it all. It was 1967 when that report got out to the New York Tribune, and they wrote an article on it. And just a couple years later, in 1868, General John R. Logan, President of the Grand Army of the Republic, so that would be the Northern Armies, declared that May 30th would be a day to decorate with flowers the graves of comrades who had died in defense of their country during the rebellion. And so the only people who had their graves decorated, according to his declaration, were Northern soldiers. The Southern didn't do it at all. After the First World War, it went nationwide for Confederates and Northern. It went for every war. It went for the Revolutionary War. And also at that time, they started doing it for just lost loved ones. Many of you maybe have gone already to your family graveyards and you've spruced them up and planted flowers and done what you could do to make it look nice. And I got to tell you, that's wonderful. We need to honor those people. We don't want to forget. We don't want to just ignore. I can't tell you how many people, after somebody that was very dear to them, just forget it. Folks, we don't want to forget. We don't grieve like those that have no hope, but we do grieve. And that's okay. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Our nation has fought many wars since its founding in 1776. In 246 years, we've been involved in so many wars that every fourth year, on average, we've been in a war. We have 3 years of peace and a year of war, if you were to average it all out over those years. So I want to do a little review of the high cost of our freedom, because it did not come free. Nancy mentioned she's glad to be born in this country. Me too. Myself, my children, my grandchildren can be anything God called them to be. And that's a great, great privilege. We take it for granted. But most of the world does not have what we have in this nation. So the Revolutionary War, it was fought from 1775 to 1783, 8 years of fighting. The total men and women that served were 250,000, and it doesn't sound like much, but there weren't very many people in this nation at that time. It was a lot different than now. Battle deaths were 6,824. Other deaths were 18,500. It seems strange that they weren't shot and killed in the battle, but they died. Things were a little different back then. If you even got a cut on your hand, it could turn to gangrene, which could turn to death. And so things were a little different. The War of 1812 with England, from 1812 to 1815, 3 years of fighting. The total serving were 286,730. Battle deaths were 2,260. Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848, 2 years of fighting. The total serving were 78,718. Battle deaths were 1,733. And again, other deaths were 11,550. Civil War. I'm just going to give you the Union forces first. These would be the northern part of the nation. Those serving were 2,213,363. Battle deaths, 140,414. Other deaths, 224,094. The Confederate forces, total serving 1,500,000. Battle deaths, 74,524. And other deaths, 59,297. If you went just by the deaths of who died, the Southern people should have won it. They only lost half as many people, but they didn't win. So it isn't always just the number of deaths that decide a war. Spanish-American War, 1898, 1 year of fighting. Total serving were 306,760. Battle deaths, 385. Other deaths, 2,061. World War I, which was called the War to End All Wars, they really thought after this there won't be any more wars, fought from April 6, 1917 to November 11, 1918, 1 year. It says number serving, 4,743,826. Battle deaths, 53,513. Other deaths, 63,195. World War II, December 7, 1941 to December 31, 1946. 5 years of fighting. Total serving, 16,353,659. Battle deaths, 292,131. Other deaths, 115,185. The Korean War, June 25th, 1950 to July 27th, 1953, 3 years of fighting. Total serving, 5,764,143. Battle deaths, 33,629. Other deaths, 20,617. The Vietnam War, August 4, 1964 to January 27, 1973, 8 years of fighting. Total serving, 8,744,000. Battle deaths, 47,351. Other deaths, 10,700. Lebanon, 1982 to 1984, 2 years. Battle deaths, 264. Grenada, 1983. Battle deaths, 18. Panama, 1989 to 1990. Battle deaths, 23. Persian Gulf War, 1991. Battle deaths, 90. Missing in action, 34. Prisoners of war, 9. And then the Afghanistan and Iraqi wars. The war in Afghanistan went from 2001 to 2021. It's the longest war we ever fought. Battle deaths, 1,833. Other deaths, 363. And the war in Iraq was 2003 to 2011. Battle deaths, 3,836. Other deaths, 961. Out of our 246 years as a nation, we spent 64 years in active battle, in wars. Again, that's one out of every 4 years that we've been a nation, we've been at war. Every generation in our nation's history has had their share of their turn at fighting in battles to keep us safe and to keep the world safe. Many of the battles we've been in haven't been just for our own freedoms, have been for freedom around the world. We're the only nation that I know of, maybe you know of one, but I don't, historically, that have fought all across the world and not colonialized or taken for ourselves the lands we tried to protect. We could have, but we did not. And I praise the Lord for that. These men and women that fought these wars, that died, that were wounded, that were never the same after, gave the ultimate payment for our freedom. Our Lord Jesus in John 15, verse 12, said, "My commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." It was for their friends and family that these men and women gave the highest price they could possibly give to benefit us. In our battles, we've had 1,180,021 men and women give their lives for our freedoms. We need to defend the things that they've given to us in our generation. That isn't just done on the battlefield. It's done across the nation, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But those people had names like Baranczyk, like Bills, like Larkin, like Craddock, like Brabant, like Lonsway. I don't think there's a family here that hasn't had somebody in your family history that went to war. Somebody you know. I want to tell you, they did it out of love for the nation and out of love for you. And we ought to take time to remember them. At this time, we're going to have Dave, if you would, play The Mansions of the Lord. And in your bulletin, I'll just tell you ahead of time before he starts it, there's a copy of the words. This is going to be hard to follow unless you have the words. If you have the words, you know what they're singing, you'll really follow it well. So enjoy it and listen to this, and it's really good.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be nice if every soldier that died in the military, that song would be right, that they're in heaven? I want to tell you today, one of the things we need to be praying for our military, is that they'll let the chaplains do their job. Folks in the military today, things are not what they were 20 years ago. In the military today, pastors can't, or chaplains can't pray in the name of Jesus Christ. If soldiers don't hear the gospel, if soldiers don't get saved, it doesn't matter how much they served and how much they paid the price for our nation. They're not in the mansions of the Lord. And we have to understand that. We have to be interceding for these people that they will have the right to proclaim the gospel. They did up until just a few years ago. It's so sad. I did a military funeral for a relative of mine, and it was at a VFW hall. And he said, "You got to be careful, Jerry. You can't use the name Jesus in the service." And I said, boy, I don't know if I can even do the service. And so I did my best to honor what he asked, but the name Jesus came up about four or five times, and I could tell he was getting irritated. But I can't stop talking about my Lord. It's the only hope we have. Folks, soldiers need to be saved just like everybody else. When we talk about the number of deaths and the number of wars, you'd think sooner or later people on this earth are going to get smart enough. They're not going to keep going to war. But you know, the Lord makes it very clear that is not the reality of the situation. Daniel, writing the future of the Jewish nation, said in Daniel 9, verse 26, "After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler will come to destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed." Folks, you can pray all you want to, and I pray for peace too, I really do. But there's going to be war. Get used to it. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, until the Lord comes from heaven, they're going to be involved in wars. If we're averaging one out of every 4 years, that tells you we've had almost a whole year without a war, but guess what? 3 or 4 more years, we're going to be involved someplace. And then after that one's done, 3 or 4 years, we're going to be right back at it again. We need to understand that our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." You know, the Lord knows there's going to be wars, and you wonder, why must it happen? It must happen so that God's plan, we keep thinking life just happens. No, God has a plan, and that's part of it, folks. I don't understand it all. I really don't, but I do give God his honor that he has got a plan. He knows all about all the wars of all history. And he's chosen not to stop them for reasons known only to him. I can't tell you why. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about Abraham Lincoln and the wonderful address that he gave at Gettysburg on November 19th, 1863, just shortly before he died. He said, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We've come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it. far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will not little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who have fought have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Our ancestors gave their lives so that we could have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, where we could live in freedom. Folks, what should be our response to the sacrifice? What should we be doing now? Right now, we're at peace, and we all rejoice in that. I hope it lasts a while, but I know it won't last long. But we have to carry on the struggle. Now, I want to tell you, the struggle isn't just done on the battlefield. There are battles that all of us must enter into as Christians because we are truly the soldiers of the army of God. And the battle goes on today. We need to struggle in the halls of justice. We need to struggle in the school boards across our country that our children are taught the truth and not a bunch of lies. In our public schools today, history is literally being rewritten, and our kids are learning that we are barbarous people. We're the instigators of all the wars all across the world. Folks, sad, that's what's happening. Our school boards need to stand up to that. We need to struggle in our legislatures and in our states and in our federal government as Christians to have a voice heard, because we are literally losing what our forefathers died to give us. It's being done today, mostly in our courts, and it's a sad, sad situation what's going on in our courts, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But in James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God." There are always going to be those who want to take away somebody else's freedom that can control you and your families and your loved ones. The very first article of the Bill of Rights, written in 1791, states, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress and grievances." Sadly, in the last few years, especially through our court system, our legislatures are doing nothing. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. The less they do, probably the better we are. But our courts are activist right now, and they're making all kinds of rules and regulations that go contrary to our Constitution, and saying that they're constitutional. They are literally changing our country. That's why it's so important for us to remain in the struggle. At least, I can't tell you how many Christians I know that never vote. Folks, you need to make your vote heard. It's important who gets into office, because they're appointing people, not elected people, but they're appointing people to offices that you don't get a vote on. You need to be careful who you're electing, because it's going to affect this nation. In the Declaration of Independence, it's written in 1776, and it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." But most of you know, in 1973, our Supreme Court of the United States said that not every person has the right to life. We are killing our babies. We mentioned, and it's sad to say, we had over 1 million people die in the history of this nation to protect our rights and to give us the freedoms we have. I just want to go through a couple things here, very important. In our county, this is Saginaw County, in our county, since 1982, almost 10,000 children have lost their lives to abortion. In our state, the state of Michigan, since 1980, almost 600,000 children have been killed. In our nation, since 1973, 63 million babies have been murdered in their mother's womb. Folks, think about that. 1 million people died for our freedom, 1,100,000. 63 million people have been murdered because we're misusing the freedoms that the Constitution gives us. Life starts at conception. There's no way to avoid that. The very second that baby is conceived, it's a separate person in the mother's womb. We need to be people that stand up for their life, just like our soldiers stood up for the whole country. As Christians, we are part of another army. And our Lord tells us to lay down our lives for others. We need to be willing to sacrifice some things. Yes, children can be an inconvenience, but children are also the future of this nation. We need to protect their rights. As soldiers of Christ, we need to stand up and fight the battles that are left. We honor our soldiers, and we should. But folks, we honor them by doing what they fought to protect. They fought to protect life and liberty and your right to pursue happiness. What about those little ones that are never going to get a chance to pursue the happiness that God wanted them to have? Folks, as Christians, I cannot urge you enough. We've got some elections coming up. Be careful who you vote for. Vote for people, hopefully, who love the Lord, who love our Constitution, who love our way of life. Don't vote for people who want to make this a socialist or communist nation. And there are many running that want exactly that. We're going to dishonor our soldiers who fought to keep us free if we let them take over through the courts or through the government. It's going to come at a cost. I'm not telling you it's going to be free. But you need to speak up, not in bitterness, not in wrath, not in anger, but you need to let your voice be heard. That you are one who honors life. That you are one who believes everybody ought to have an opportunity for life, for the pursuit of happiness, and for freedom. Folks, it's going to come at a cost. It's not going to be cheap. But freedom is not cheap. And freedom is not liberty to do what you want. Freedom is the right to do what you ought to be doing. It isn't free. The battle goes on, and so I can't encourage you enough. Keep up the good fight. Father, we do want to honor our soldiers, Lord, and we are so grateful for what they do. Father, the ones that are serving now, I just went to Mike Withey's grandson, Nick, his graduation. He's going in the Navy. Lord, I pray that you'll bless Nick, that you'll use him for your glory. Father, as far as I know, he's saved, but I don't know that for sure, but I just pray that you'll use them to touch other lives. We pray for our soldiers, our sailors, that, Lord, those that know you'll be active, winning others to faith in Christ. We pray for the rights of our chaplains to be able to proclaim the gospel without losing their jobs. And, Father, we ask you to help this country to protect the unborn. Lord, we think of our Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross to take away our sin, and we thank you for that sacrifice as well, Lord. Bless and use us now. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.